is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Nevada Outlook, a discussion of Northern Nevada issues on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, I'm Daniela Sanino. Welcome to Nevada Outlook. Today we're talking with Jocelyn Landtrip with the Food Bank of Northern Nevada. They just completed their Feeding Our Community survey, looking at March 2021 to March 2022. And they looked at all kinds of demographics in between. She sat down and broke down some of the statistics with us this week.
Actually, we have not done a study of this size for quite a few years. And okay. We used to embark on something very similar with Feeding America every 4 years or so. Mm-hmm. But Feeding America stopped doing this particular survey. And the last one we had done was way back in 2014. And we've done smaller research projects, but nothing of this size for years. So it really was a big deal, and it was a few years in the making. We talked about it and worked with UNR and got everything ready to go, and we surveyed people for an entire year. So we really wanted to get seasonality in there as well and really see what people were facing throughout the year.
And this looks at a wide variety of things, and you guys used UNR as the research group to gather this data. Go ahead and tell me what you guys found out between March 2021 and March 2022.
Well, we found some very interesting things. Some of it we knew already, but we're still surprised to see it in black and white. We found that 70% of those we serve have served in the U.S. military at one point in their lives. One of the things that really brings home why we have such food insecurity in our area was the income question. And we found that more than 65% of people we're serving have a household income of less than $20,000 a year. And 85% have an income lower than $30,000 per year. So that is really simple math to understand that people cannot pay their bills and buy food with that income. It's just not possible in our area.
26% of the people that you surveyed are homeowners, right?
Yes, they have a mortgage. They have a mortgage, and people do think sometimes that the food bank is helping primarily people who are homeless or facing, you know, homelessness issues, and that isn't the case. 72% of people have stable housing, so that isn't the right, you know, picture of who we're helping. 72% either rent or own, and 26% of those 72 have a mortgage. So, and I think that's one of the misperceptions that people may have. It's something that we have known for a long time, that when people receive food assistance from the food bank, it can help them pay the rest of their bills. One of the things that we found that really kind of hit us hard is that 62% of people reported that they had to either skip meals or cut their portions sometime over the past year. And, you know, we don't want people to have to skip meals. That's why we're doing this work. And we know that happens. People tell us that happens, but it's still shocking to see the data. You know, half of the people reported that they had to choose what they consider an unhealthy option due to lower cost. And that really speaks to nutritious food and the importance of that nutritious food. And really, if people are food insecure and they're not receiving the food that is better for them, it's a health issue and a healthy community issue. So we really, you know, are excited to use this data to improve what we do as well.
I find it really sad that one in every five people, I'm looking at some of the statistics that you guys collected, one in five people find themselves without food or money to buy food almost every single month.
Right. It is shocking to think that that many of the people are really not having enough money to put food on the table. And it's just a reality. And one of the things that research projects like this help us to understand is that hunger is something that is not in front of you every day. People do not want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the fact that maybe they've paid all their other bills, but they don't have the money to buy food for their family at the end of the month. And it's a reality that just happens in secret. And it's important for us to talk about it as a community so we can solve it. 41% of people had to choose between rent and food. And we know that housing costs are high. We know that costs of everything have risen. So it makes sense that people would be having to make these impossible choices every day.
All right, Jocelyn, we're talking with Jocelyn Lantrip today with the Food Bank of Northern Nevada about the latest results of their most recent study showing the state of hunger in Northern Nevada. It's something that you guys do periodically. This is the first one you've done in how many years?
Quite a few years. This is the first one of this scale since 2014.
Did you guys go into this depth when you guys were looking at it almost 10 years ago?
It did have similar questions. We found ourselves in the middle of a pandemic or, you know, crawling out of a pandemic at the time. So we did have to add some questions about COVID, and we did find out that 29% started to use food services as a direct result of COVID-19 and the economic effects. So that was something that was very different from the last time we did this.
These are big numbers. We're talking one out of three people.
Right. It affects a lot of people in our community, and that's why it's such a serious issue.
Where do you guys go from here? What do you do with this data to create better results on the opposite end of this?
Well, one of the things that we do is, since we distribute food through a network of 150 partner agencies, we share these results with those partners. And it's really important all across our service area to understand what the barriers are to people receiving food. And we learned that many people have to drive 30 minutes to get to a grocery store or a pantry. There's some barriers around people not able to access food pantries during certain hours because they're working or they just can't get to those resources. And so we're going to work with our own programs and then also with these agencies to see if we can combat some of these barriers and just make it easier for people to get food.
Basically, maybe pinpoint some locations that are a little more convenient for folks?
A little more convenient geographically or time-wise, possibly looking at how often we have evening or weekend hours, if that is an issue in the particular neighborhood that we're talking about. And we did see some of those barriers in the survey. So it's also, we want people to know what's happening, what is the state of hunger, but we also want to do our work better. So the survey is for both of those things.
Jocelyn Lantrip with the Food Bank of Northern Nevada, thank you so much for this informative conversation today. Can you give the website so people listening right now who feel charitable can reach out to you guys and contribute?
Yes, please visit us anytime at fbnn.org, and you can find out lots of different ways to get involved, volunteering, having a food drive, donating, all of those ways. And also, if you are in need of food assistance, that is where those resources are listed as well. This is something that we're going to be taking and using in our work in the months and years to come.
Thank you so much. And once again, it's FBNN.org. I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
News Talk 780 KOH.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Good morning. I'm Daniela Cennino, and welcome to Nevada Outlook. February is Heart Month, and it's a time to raise awareness about heart disease in everybody. It's also time for the Go Red campaign for women. You're encouraged to wear red throughout the month of February to raise awareness about the number one killer of women. Today, we're talking with the American Heart Association's Christopher Calloway about Heart Month. Can you tell me a little bit about why we want to raise awareness for women's heart disease?
Sure. The thing is, only 55% of women realize that heart disease is their number one killer, and less than half know what are considered heart healthy, or less than half know what are considered healthy levels for cardiovascular risk factors like blood pressure, cholesterol. So what we do is we focus on Go Red for Women, asking people to wear red, and also to be the beat, meaning learn at least hands-only CPR, because so many people die for not, because most of the heart attacks, they occur outside the hospital. Most of cardiac arrests occur outside the hospital. So if someone knows hands-only CPR and can step in, then that person has a 2 to 3 greater chance of survival. And most women and minorities, they get less people providing them hands-only CPR or CPR than men. And I think people are afraid to touch women, are afraid to approach them, so that not many people step in. Bystanders don't step in. So we're encouraging people to at least learn hands-only. It keeps the blood, the oxygenated blood, pumping to the brain. That's critical. It's easy to learn. You call 911, and then you just start compressions about 2 inches on the chest, and then you just follow the beat. And, you know, you probably heard staying alive is the beat to use to keep the right rhythm, the right pace.
So February is Heart Disease Awareness Month, and it's for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not just for women. But the thing about women and heart disease is they exhibit heart problems differently. Can you talk a little bit about that for me, Chris?
Sure. Yeah, it's different than men. It presents itself differently. It can happen suddenly, but can also occur over a period of weeks sometimes. They'll feel pain in their arm. They'll feel nausea. They'll feel sickness in their stomach. They may feel back pain. It's not necessarily that crushing weight on the chest. They feel in other areas of the body. And when that happens, what we're urging them to do is call their doctor. Speak to their doctor. Don't just put it off as, well, it's probably nothing. Don't be afraid. It's your doctor. Call them and ask them. They'll see if there's a serious situation. And if it really is bad, call 911. Don't wait, because time is critical. So it does present differently, and it is a different, you know, the arms, the stomach, back pain. So it's very important. If something feels off, contact your physician or call 911 immediately.
Christopher, what's the slogan this year? I know every year the Go Red campaign has a different slogan. What's this year's?
Yeah, the slogan this year is Be the Beat. And that's where we're tying it to hands-only CPR. Learn hands-only CPR, very simple, and be the beat for somebody that you love. It could be a loved one in your house that has cardiac arrest. And it's very important that someone in the household knows how to do hands-only CPR. Because we're talking about cardiac arrest, different from a heart attack. We're talking about a rhythmic problem with the heart where it just stops beating, and we have to get it beating again. Thus, be the beat.
Can you explain what happens, like that football player, when you hit the heart in a certain way, at a certain angle, if it's hard enough, you can set that rhythm off, right? Can you explain that?
Yeah, that was a very unusual and rare circumstance, but it can happen where when a specific spot is hit in the chest and the heart's beating at a certain rhythm, just the right rhythm, it can stop the heart from beating. It's happened to kids in sports, hockey, baseball. And especially with children, their chests, their bone structure is a little more pliable. So it does hit the heart and can stop it beating. Now, it's very rare, but it is possible. And that's what happened to DeMar. It was cardiac arrest, not a heart attack, which is a blockage, but a cardiac arrest, and it just stops beating. And that's where CPR can step in and get that blood flowing until the EMTs arrive and can use an AED to restore the rhythm. In fact, in the workplace, in gyms, they should have an AED because it tells you exactly what to do, where to place the AED pads, and when to press the button to try to reestablish the heart rhythm. That's something every business should have and every gym should have.
Yeah, I think we're seeing them pop up at places like amusement parks and airports a lot more often, right?
Yes, yes. And you should make sure all your employees know where to find it, because the first thing you want to do is pick someone out and say, you, call 911. Don't just scream, call 911. Point to someone and say, you call 911, because you want to make eye contact and make sure someone takes responsibility. You, go get the AED. You need that right away if it's in there. And then you start with the compressions, hands only, until that AED comes back. But again, you can get training for all of this, the how to properly use an AED, how to get how to do hands only CPR or full CPR. But it's something that we're really urging people to do this month, and we're especially focused on women's heart health on Friday.
Yeah, we're talking today with Christopher Calloway with the American Heart Association and all about the Go Red campaign for women in February.
That's right. I'm wearing red. I hope you wear red too. And share it on social media. Be the beat.
And you guys have a really informative website. If you go to goredforwomen.org, you can really see some comprehensive information about everything from how to perform hands-on only CPR and learning about the symptoms of a silent heart attack. Can we talk a little bit about that? What's a silent heart attack?
Well, I'm not really versed on a silent heart attack, but there may be, because I'm not a medical expert, I'm specifically speaking from the standpoint of the American Heart Association, but if there's a silent heart attack, it may not be, you may not even know you've had one. And your doctor may, when you go to see, something seems off, you go to see a doctor, they check your heart and say, oh, you had a heart attack. It's not always a major, the chest, the pressure falling down. Sometimes it just happens silently. So, like I said, some people can have symptoms for weeks. I know people that, survivors that have had symptoms for a long time thinking that they just had back pain, but it wasn't back pain. They had a blockage.
Yeah, I'm on the page right now. It's saying you can actually have no symptoms.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important to go to your doctor regularly every year for your annual physical, or if you don't feel well, but you should go regularly to have your numbers checked, your blood pressure, your blood cholesterol, your blood sugar. Know your family history. Is there a history of heart disease? So if you know your family history, you should discuss that with your doctor, and the doctor can tell you what steps you should take to protect yourself as much as possible and keep your heart healthy, what kind of exercise you should do, the kind of food you should eat, what you can do to help reduce stress, and especially control your blood sugar and your cholesterol levels. But knowing that history and watching your numbers is very important. And talk to your doctor. Share that information with your doctor. They can best advise you on what you should do to have a healthy heart.
And Christopher, the bottom line is that there's risk factors that you can manage yourself just right out the gate. Wake up in the morning and choose to not smoke cigarettes. Choose to not eat an unhealthy diet. All these things. Choose to not be obese or overweight, right?
Well, absolutely. If smoking is the first, if you do smoke, you should quit. That's the first thing you should do. And it's difficult, I understand. So if you need help, you can get help quitting smoking. But that is one of the best things you can do to protect your heart health. You can make better choices with the foods that you eat. You know, treat your body like you would your vehicle. You're going to put good gas in that vehicle. You want it to run well and run for a long time. Treat your body the same way. Give yourself as much attention as you give to other things that you do. Take care of your health. You have to do what you can. We can't control everything about our health. We can't control our family history. But knowing that, we can do things to protect ourselves as much as possible by eating better. Getting regular exercise if that's recommended. And again, discuss it with your physician. Find out what's right for you, because they may advise you certain kind of exercises work better for you, certain foods that work better for you. But they'll look at your blood sugar, your cholesterol levels, and see if you're at risk based on your numbers and your family history. But there are things you can do right out the gate, and I would suggest seeing your doctor, have that physical done, check those numbers, and be aware of your family history. Ask questions.
Christopher Calloway with the American Heart Association, thank you so much for getting us updated on this year's Go Red for Women campaign. We're encouraging everybody to wear red. And what's the takeaway from all of this before I let you go?
Takeaway is be the beat for someone you love. Learn hands-only CPR.
And give the website so people can go check out all the cool information you guys have available online.
They can go to AmericanHeartAssociation.org. There's a load of information there on how to stay healthy, all kinds of information on studies, and even information on how to do hands-only CPR. You can learn right now. So go to our website.
Thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.